Hey everyone, welcome to the Eat Me, Drink Me podcast, where I, Audrey, and my guest will share our personal, supernatural, and mystical experiences with you. We hope our stories inspire you to follow Holy Spirit as Alice followed the white rabbit, but into Jesus's wonderland, where we get to rest in, explore, and celebrate everything that He has made available to us, not just in heaven when we die, but here on earth right now. So I'm here with my husband, John.
Heyo!
And we just wanted to do an episode together where we bless you guys with the truth of the gospel, because you can never get enough of hearing about our identity in Christ.
Yeah, and, you know, I get to enjoy Jesus through other people's, you know, preaching and teaching and reading together, but you know, there's so many people that really, even Christians, they do not realize how included we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not what they're taught in their churches. It's not what they hear in their everyday life. But guess what? If you focus on it and dwell on the truth, whatever things are true, dwell on these things. So this is good practice to do on your own and through media like this, just hearing truth from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. So we just bless your heart. Be open for truth and grace, because it is an overabundance of supply for us and you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't hear it enough.
So
it's like drinking water, you know? You have to drink water every day to be hydrated.
Yes.
He is the living water.
Amen.
And the well that never runs dry.
Whoa.
He's so yummy.
Amen.
And
we've been getting a lot out of this Romans 5.
Yeah. He's our substance. He's our substance. He's our sustenance.
Amen. So, yeah, we're going to read a couple scriptures and then kind of combine the parts that are speaking of our identity in those and just declare them together. And see where it goes. You want to start with this one? Romans 5.
Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us. And he now declares us flawless in his eyes.
Well,
this means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace. Sorry, I love to emphasize words because
Why would we enjoy that? Why? What's there to enjoy about it?
It's not meant to just be received, just so that you know that you have an insurance policy. When you die, you'll be fine. Like, no, it is to be enjoyed.
But what about, you know, like you go and hear people talk about be righteous and we need righteousness in our land. It sounds kind of stoic and unobtainable. But we're meant to enjoy it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Is that what Paul said?
Yes, be in joy. Be in joy about the fact that God has made you righteous.
Mm. Let's just think about how much we can enjoy righteousness.
Mm. There's no shame ever, ever, ever. You know, like even if you have good parents or grandparents or a good friend that you know you can talk to about anything, but sometimes there might be like that one thing that you feel like you can't even talk to them about. God is that one that you can talk to about anything. Literally anything. Not one thing is hidden from God's eyes. And that's often used as like a way to like scare people into being good. Like Santa is always watching you, gonna put you on his naughty list. But it's like, no, he's literally there with you in your deepest and darkest times.
Amen.
It's a good thing because it's proof that we're not separated from God. It's proof that our sin doesn't separate us from God.
Yes. One thing I enjoy about righteousness is the freedom that comes with it. That I don't have to act like anybody else. I don't have to try and be something that I think I'm not. Yeah, righteousness as a gift makes me feel free.
Yeah, you don't
Because
have
I'm
to.
already up there. I'm already seated with him.
Yeah, you don't have to attain anything to please him. Like, I, for years, had this feeling that since I wasn't out every day risking my life in the African bush or in Pakistan, preaching the gospel every day or hosting crusades, drawing in hundreds of thousands of people, that I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
That was like my goal.
If you ain't Reinhard Bonnke, you ain't doing
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but that's just not true.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. Those things are amazing. Those people are amazing. But, you know, we are here in America, and we do need the gospel here in America.
Man.
It's been shifted over the last couple hundred years, and there's a renewing coming back, a refreshing of the early church revelation of it, of what Paul had, what Peter had, what the apostles had, what the disciples of the disciples had, the disciples of the disciples' disciples.
Wow. It's like a layered cake of disciples. But it does, you see, that's one thing, is that it goes from glory to glory.
Yeah.
If you're in truth, if you're in righteousness, if God placed you there, it goes from one kind of glory to the next. It's not like you get higher and higher every time or whatever. I mean, God can bring you as high as, you know, your faith can allow or whatever, or more. You know, he puts it in you anyhow. But it's just like from the glory of you realizing that you didn't have to obtain it, that he died as you. And then there's the glory of eternal healing and peace and freedom from sin. There's different glory. We go from one glory to the next.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God.
What did I say about that peace?
Lasting peace. All because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us.
Hey!
Our faith guarantees us permanent access. Our persuasion, we are persuaded that Jesus has made us righteous.
Yes.
That faith, that persuasion guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness. It's not saying that if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're not allowed and it's not there for you. What it means is that when you are persuaded in how much God loves you, you're persuaded that you are in right standing with God as your father and you are his child, then it guarantees you permanent access. Because you know that it's yours.
Yep.
You have access. It keeps you built up. It keeps you walking in your identity.
Your access card will never be denied.
Yes.
That access card is called Christ. He never expires. So your access.
And what do we have access into?
Huh?
And what do we have access into?
Tell me about it.
His marvelous kindness. Marvelous kindness.
Yes.
Marvel at his kindness.
Wow. So kind, Jesus. Why are you so kind, Jesus? You're so kind.
This marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God.
Is that in the Bible? Did he just say that?
Who said that?
Oh my gosh.
In Romans 5.
Holy smokes.
Verse 2. What incredible joy bursts forth.
Yes.
What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory.
That's one of the words for prophecy. Is nabi, which means to bubble up.
Ooh.
So it's from within, it comes out. And prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, is a testimony of Jesus. So when you have that joy inside of you, you bubble up that Nobby, like Barnaby, is son of encouragement, you know, that word Nobby is encouragement, prophecy, something to build you up, but it comes from within to give out to you and to others. And when you do that, it just splats on everyone. It just, you know.
It bursts.
It bursts, and it looks like an explosion of joy.
Oh,
hallelujah.
But that's not all.
That's not all.
That's not all.
That's not all, folks.
Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence. Knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character. And proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy. Because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Who lives in us.
Our imaginations couldn't even think it up. It's not disappointing in that way where, you know, oh, it can't be that good. Can it be that good?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. This is the truth. It's not a fantasy. It's a reality.
It's better than what you can even imagine.
But hey, go ahead and try to imagine it. Practice trying to imagine the goodness of God in your life. Imagine what goodness can do to your children. Imagine what goodness can do to your wife and to yourself and your coworkers. Imagine the goodness of God on the cop that just pulled you over for speeding. Imagine the goodness of God for, you know, someone who's angry at you for preaching the gospel. Or, you know, imagine the goodness of God for whatever instance you can, because our imaginations are powerful. But it's whatever you do imagine, he answers above that. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Try. Just try. I dare you.
I dare you.
Try and see how far you can take your imagination. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like you need to hold it back a little bit. Push it to the extreme. And then know that he's even greater than that.
Ooh.
So then try and go even better than that. Go great. Go greater. Go higher.
Go
gooder.
Higher.
Gooder. Better.
We're better.
More kind. More loving. And he's even better than that.
Better. Better butter. Jesus got that better butter. Can't believe it's not better butter.
For when the time was ripe, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for us who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save us, to save ourselves. Sorry. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves.
Nah, couldn't do it. Still can't.
Well, and I love this because many people have said, you know, what has God ever done for me? He literally died for you to set you free from bondage, to help you, to bring light and life and joy.
He bore your sickness. He bore your mental dysfunction. In his own body, he consumed the sin, the shortcomings in your life. He consumed it.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could be free of it and be free with him and in him. Because it got killed in him. We put it all on him. He absorbed it. And he got rid of it. So just for us, that is super good.
Christ proved God's passionate love for us. By dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. It is unfailing, unending. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight.
Yeah! Yeah, I'm righteous in his sight, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm righteous in his sight.
The blood of Jesus declares that you are righteous.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
That God sees you as righteous.
Yay.
And that is your reality. Don't continue with that false humility when somebody tells you that you're awesome or that you're perfect or, you know, whatever, and you just say, oh, only in God's eyes. As if anybody else's eyes matter. Come on.
Yeah, if you are in his eyes, hello.
That's
your... He only sees truth.
Yes, exactly.
He cannot lie.
He cannot lie. That's the truth.
Instead of just saying, oh, maybe only up to God, just be like, yep, God can't lie. Audrey, you're awesome.
Thanks.
God can't lie.
You can still be humble and receive a compliment like that.
Yeah.
You are now righteous in my sight, is what God says. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience wrath.
Thank you, Lord.
Never.
Wow.
Never, ever.
That's good.
Never means never, right?
What if I shoot a bazooka out and it hits a whale in the ocean that was endangered?
Oh my gosh. Yes, John.
I still won't have the wrath?
No. You might have bad consequences on this planet. So if while we were still sinners, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater than friendship is ours.
What is that? Greater than friendship? Sonship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Daughtership?
Daughtership?
Child. Children.
Ship.
Childhood. Childhood.
Childhoodship.
Return to childhood.
Amen. Return to innocence ship.
Yes.
We're on the ships. Sonship. Friendship. Greater than friendship.
Greater than friendship. Yeah, we are sons and daughters.
It's like we're married.
Oh, yes, there's also that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus hasn't put us in the friend zone.
Hey, oh, he hasn't ghosted us. Oh, wait, yes, he did. Lord, ghost us, Lord. No, he never leaves you, but he'll holy ghost you.
He doesn't ignore you.
He won't ghost you. He'll holy ghost you. That's when he keeps talking to you instead of just not talking to you. He is the word, after all.
Amen. Now that we are at peace with God, just stop for a minute.
All right, I'm stopped. Full stop. Full stop.
You are at peace with God.
That's good.
You know, like so many people live anxiously, fearing that they're not at peace with God. Like, even if they believe this, they believe the truth that Jesus has set them free. They believe that Jesus has made them the righteousness of God. They still somehow have this anxiety to try and uphold that. Okay, now that I've been forgiven, now that I've been set free, now that I've received Jesus, now I have to uphold this on my end. I have to keep being obedient. I have to keep praying enough. I have to keep trying. And if they slip up, you know, that's like, that's anxiety.
Yeah.
That is not peace of God.
Right. And it's just like in Galatians where it talks about how you didn't start this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't finish it.
Yeah.
So why try to go back to the yoke of slavery? And that's why you feel anxious, is because you're holding on to something that is dead.
Yeah.
You're holding on to an idea that has been eradicated. You're holding on to the way of the world, the darkness, falling, not knowing where you're going. You didn't know how to get there. How do you think you're going to keep it?
Yeah. It's going back to that servant mentality. It's uneasy. It feels uneasy. And so right now, I'm just declaring to you who receive that you are at peace with God.
Yes.
You may not be at peace with yourself, but that's something that you can talk with God about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are at peace with God. And God is truth, and God is freedom, and God is love. And so God can heal you and help, you know, cleanse your mind from anything that makes you feel uneasy.
Yes.
We are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more we will be rescued from sin's dominion.
Oh, how much more?
How much more? Yeah. We share in his resurrection life.
Amen.
And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God.
Whoa, triumphant joy.
We live in reconciliation to God. We don't have to wait until we die to talk to God. We don't have to wait until we die to experience triumphant joy. We don't have to wait until we die to experience resurrection life.
Yeah.
We will be resurrected in a way, you know, into heaven when this flesh dies. But Jesus says we just go to sleep, and or we don't even have to die.
Yeah. But you don't have to wait, even not for death, but you don't have to wait for your attitude or your life to change. It's by his grace. It's by his power. It's by his might. It's by his thinking that he has established this way of sin through, you know, sin getting being taken care of through the Son, so that we could enjoy it all. You know, he figured it all out. You don't have to wait to figure it out. You don't have to wait for, you know, whatever, just for church or for things to get right before you receive this truth. You can have it now. It is an eternal word. So that's why it reaches every tribe, tongue, nation. He put it in creation so that we could all understand that this is reality in him.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I mean.
All right, Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience, and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. Sin was in the world before Moses even gave the written law, but it was not charged against them where no law existed. Yet death still reigned as king from Adam to Moses, even though they hadn't broken a command the way Adam had. The first man, Adam, was a picture of the Messiah who was to come. Now there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift that we experience, for the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime.
It's like, here's your sin, that the total amount is like 5 pennies, and here's grace, that stinking, you know, battleship. There's no comparison. You can't imagine how much more weight this is, or, you know, a planet, gravity.
It breaks the scale.
Yes.
It sends the other bit flying into the abyss, and it breaks the scale.
Man.
For the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. It's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus, the Messiah, did for us. Oh, man, he is good. He is so good. So good. Above and beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine. And this free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. It imparts to us, all right? So this, once again, this isn't just for, you know, you believe in Jesus now and you'll go to heaven when you die. And that's it. So you just have to wait. You have to pine for pie in the sky.
Yeah.
No. You get to have it imparted to you now because of what Jesus did. And it is much more than what was given to you through generational sins that have been passed down from Adam. For because of one transgression, we are all facing a death sentence with a verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift from Jesus leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the words,
Hoobadooba.
Not guilty.
Not guilty. All right. Acquitted with the words, not guilty.
That's right.
I'm acquitted. Quit it. Just quit it. Acquit it. I'm acquitted, not guilty.
Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man,
yep,
death reigned as king over humanity.
Yep.
But now, how much more?
How much more? How much more?
How much more?
How much more?
Are we held in the grip of grace?
Grip of grace? Yes!
And continue reigning as kings and queens in life.
Yes.
Enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah.
Yes.
In other words, I gotta say it again, just as condemnation came upon all people, think of this as a mathematical equation.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Condemnation came on all people.
Yep.
Through one transgression.
Yep.
All right. So through one righteous act.
Okay.
Of Jesus's sacrifice.
Yeah.
The perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us into a victorious life.
That's the kind of righteousness.
Is now available to us all.
Yes, that kind of righteousness. Wow. It's the best kind.
One sure. Man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also, one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him.
Oh. True.
So then.
We're acceptable. I'll accept it. Not guilty.
So then, the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. Just as I read that, I just pictured Adam and Eve in the garden hiding. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the reaction to them eating the fruit, you know, not believing that they were already made in the image and likeness of God, that they were missing out on something. They partook of that fruit that they were told not to, and then they hid themselves. So God's plan brings sinfulness out of hiding, but it's to show us that we can trust him to be vulnerable and naked before him, and he washes us and cleanses us.
Clothes us.
And frees us from that shame and the guilt and the condemnation. Mm-hmm. He takes us out of the torment. He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness. Where is darkness when you're in hiding? Mm-hmm. It's like you're in darkness, you know, like in the shadow.
Yeah.
But he brings us into the light.
Unseen and hard to see, you know. That's darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But God's in there and he's light.
Mm-hmm. And just as sin reigned through death, so also this sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus, our Lord and Messiah.
Wow.
Imparting eternal life.
Praise him.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallel. Rave and boast to you, Yahweh.
Oh, Yahweh.
All right, that was all of Romans 5. Now we'll just read a few other verses to you guys that just further solidify this goodness. And there's many more than this. This is just a few that we're going to use before the end of the show.
Yes.
All right. Colossians 1, 26 through 28. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. But now it is being revealed, unfolded, and manifest for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. This summer, experience the expectation of glory.
How about today?
Today.
Right now.
Right now. Stop what you're doing. Stop listening to this podcast and experience the expectation of glory. All right, now you got to do an announcer voice for the next one. You don't have to.
I'll try. Colossians 1, 20. 22. Okay. I can live up to that. I can do all things through Christ.
Yes, you can.
And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself.
Oh.
He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence.
Whoa.
Whoa, that almost made me cry.
Oh, glory.
Just that part that says, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions.
Mm-hmm.
For, that just became so vivid to me and like very poetic. Just I could feel it. Like that is what it's like. Like that torment that people feel, you know, they're living in the shadows of their minds.
Right.
It's like what we said earlier, hiding from him, you know, hiding from his light, hiding from the truth. And sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's just because it feels safer that way.
All right, but he's there with you.
Yeah.
Once you realize, you open your eyes, you're clothed in righteousness.
Mm-hmm. We cannot hide, truly. We feel we are, but it's not. Because right. He's there, always,
yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
He asked where Adam and Eve were, but not because he didn't know.
It's like a parrot playing hide and seek with,
yeah,
the or something.
But he knows that you're ashamed, you know, He wants to bring you into righteousness. That's always been his intent.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 5:19, it says, in other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on God, on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him.
Amen. That's so powerful. Thank you, Jesus. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. We are not just made righteous, but we have become the righteousness of God.
Yes.
We've become the right standing of God through our union with him. You, John, are the righteousness of God.
In Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Is that like what we do as the body of Christ? We are exuding right standing with God?
Yeah, well, we're the proof.
Yeah.
We are the righteousness of God. Because if we weren't, we couldn't be in union with him. Hallelujah.
So we prove that it's possible. We prove that it is true.
Yep.
It's awesome. Like another verse that says that we are like a billboard, you know, for all people to see God's goodness. Ephesians 1:10. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and all of earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance.
Claimed.
God inherits us.
He named us and claimed us.
Oh. Well, I was just thinking, like, oh, this just hit me. I've seen people go through the adoption process, and they are so eager to adopt this child that in some cases they barely even know. They could be adopting a child all the way from across seas, but they have so much hope and so much joy to make this child their own, to love on them, to feed them, to clothe them, to have fun with them, to take care of them, to steward them. It's their joy to be their parent. And many people in the church, they kind of treat, you know, becoming a child of God like as if a parent were to adopt a kid and then say, you better be thankful that I brought you into my home and I put a roof over your head and didn't leave you starving in the gutter.
It's not even adopted that way.
I don't know, that just like came to me, that realization. That is how so many people say that we should feel about God. Like, we should be so thankful that he hasn't ground us into dust.
Yeah.
You know, we should be, you know, that kind of stuff. And I get that they're just trying to show reverence to God, but that's not his heart. He's just not even
like, oh, I'm just glad he didn't kill me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just glad I didn't pick him off enough today. Maybe tomorrow. But his mercy endures forever. Like, it's not his character. That's not what he, you know, won you for. He won you so that he could bring you into all the goodness.
Yeah.
He could put the roof, the only roof you ever needed over your head. That's his protection. That's what he wanted for you. That was his intent. Yeah. He says, I want that one. That's the one I want to give everything of me. That's the kind of adoption.
Amen. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And his fullness fills you.
His fullness fills you.
Even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses, it wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us.
But God.
Just like a parent loves their child when they go out and they rebel. They still love them, and they're waiting for them to want to come back home, to be loved on, to be nourished back to health and healed up.
Yeah. Brought back to their identity.
Yes.
Because when you're away and you're going after, you know, selfish things or whatever, that's not really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he is so rich in compassion and mercy that he brings you back mm-hmm. with such great love.
He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace.
Mm-hmm.
He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection. You've ascended into his glorious perfection mm-hmm. and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one
wow.
with
cool.
Christ.
Co.
We're not just co-seated with Christ, like just sitting next to him, but we are co-seated as one with Christ.
Whoa. Christ suit.
Yeah.
Christ suit. We're in what's it called? Astronaut suit. We can breathe his atmosphere.
We put on Christ and Christ puts on us.
Yeah.
Crucified with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display. This is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
We will be a visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace, you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving.
Mm.
We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it.
Sham lam 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 lam. One last one we got is Hebrews 2:17. This is why he had to be a man and take hold of our humanity in every way. He made us his brothers and sisters and became our merciful and faithful king priest before God, as the one who removed our sins to make us one with him.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Tell me about it.
He had to be a man.
Yep.
To take hold of our humanity in every way.
Yep. He had to do it. The way he did it, he had to do it.
It's amazing.
Amen.
All right. So we're just going to read some declarations over you before we go that we have brought, or that we have put together based off all the scriptures we just read to you guys.
Yes.
All right. So soak it up. Drink it up. We love you. And God loved you while you were powerless.
Hallelujah. He reconciled you while you were still enemies.
He's flooded you with expectation of glory.
And he's filled you with riches of glory.
You are restored to God's original intent of innocence.
Yes. And you dwell in his presence.
He has no record of your transgressions.
And now you're an ambassador of the Anointed One.
You are the righteousness of God.
and you are God's inheritance. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom.
Thanks everyone for listening. Be sure to visit eatmedrinkmepodcast.net to see all the ways we have created for you to join the conversation, to connect with myself and others, to become a supporter or patron of the show, and to subscribe. You all are amazing, and I'm so thankful to God for you. I hope you have a blissful day.